You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, episode 52.
Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, launch, grow, and scale a wildly successful e-commerce company. Listen to real conversations with proven practical strategies and success stories. Learn how to generate more traffic, more sales, more profit, and customer lifetime value for your Shopify store. And now, your host and e-commerce entrepreneur, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by Omnisend, makers of sophisticated omnichannel marketing automation tools for sales-driven Shopify brands and marketers that have outgrown generic email marketing platforms. Engage your customers and boost your e-commerce sales with dynamic emails, text messages, web push notifications, Facebook Messenger, and retargeting ads on Google and Facebook. So it's much more than just email marketing. They handle all of your marketing activities across multiple channels, all from within one platform. They have single-click Shopify integration, which also includes email templates and automatic product import from Shopify. Super easy migration from any other email solution that you might be currently using. And right now, Omnisend is offering a 14-day free trial for all of my listeners, which also includes 50% off for the first 3 months. So check them out, ecommercefastlane.com/Omnisend, and use the coupon code Fastlane when you sign up. Hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving online with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, new episodes are available each week with your favorite podcast player through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and now Spotify. Or you can also sign up online at ecommercefastlane.com and be notified when new shows are being released. Now, on today's episode, I'm chatting with Casey Armstrong, who's the Chief Marketing Officer for ShipBob. And they're a technology-enabled 3PL, which is a third-party logistics company, but the tech-enabled part of ShipBob is technology that was developed to help almost streamline the shipping and the fulfillment solutions for Shopify e-commerce businesses. And, you know, so in addition to these fulfillment services, the basics that we're all aware of, like warehousing and picking and packing and shipping, ShipBob also provides software that integrates with Shopify from, you know, multiple data points and through multiple sources, really to give you the complete visibility, you know, of the life cycle of an order. So it's pretty cool technology. And we're going to dig into some important topics today, I think, about the shift that's happening right now with logistics, more from it costing you money to fulfill the order, like the cost center versus a revenue driver. We dig into some really interesting topics about how you can improve your average order value, your lifetime value, the word of mouth, net promoter score, just, you know, the feeling in the market about, you know, the kind of service and the brand you are. And there's a massive list of things that we're going to dig into today. So if you're not considering or have not considered about how you're going to compete and differentiate from Amazon's and the Walmarts and Targets of the world, this is a great episode for you to dig into. So let's jump in. So hi, Casey. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Exciting to chat with you today. I have many merchants that use ShipBob. They absolutely love it, and they've decided, I guess on a high level, the reasons why they've decided is because they have got to a level where they feel that their time is better spent doing other higher value tasks than fulfilling orders. And that's where ShipBob kind of fits in. So that's why I wanted to have you on the show. So we'll share with the listeners about just more high level first, what ShipBob actually does and what problem that it's solving right now for Shopify brands and store owners.
Perfect. And well, Steve, you really nailed it where we're providing, you know, we're a technology enabled 3PL. And what that actually means is we're providing that Amazon level logistics and fulfillment. And so that next day and 2 day shipping for fast growing e-commerce brands, which is why we've had so much success with Shopify and Shopify Plus brands. And we do that through our distributed fulfillment center network, which we fully own and operate, including the technology that's in all the fulfillment centers. That's a very important thing that our founders started on day one, where it's definitely takes a lot of work and capital to get all of that running, but we place so much value on driving such a positive experience for our customers and our customers' customers that we really want to have full control of that entire stack. And so we have fulfillment centers in LA, San Francisco, Dallas, Chicago, and New York. And we do that so we can be closer to the end customer so that we can provide that, that fast shipping and also reduce the shipping cost to the end consumer and to our customers as well. And it's just been, it's been fascinating to see this market evolve so quickly. Of course, it's being led by Amazon, but even some of the others you mentioned, like Walmart and Target and Nordstrom, mm-hmm. and many others that are really driving this from the top down. And then, of course, that's coming to the end consumer, who's really pushing the brands to provide this free 2-day shipping or this, this less expensive next day, 2-day, 3-day shipping options. And then you start seeing that even trickle into other marketplaces such as eBay and others.
Mm-hmm. So many Shopify brands and store owners, they kind of focus, almost to say the majority of their efforts on the top of funnel marketing, you know, the acquisition, the kind of the awareness and consideration and the conversion phase, you know, but I think a lot are neglecting the post-purchase experience. So can you maybe share some efficiencies or some opportunities that you feel that ShipBob has uncovered for Shopify merchants?
Definitely. And as a marketer, I know this firsthand because I've done this time and time again where it's, I see so many, you know, brands or marketers focus on that top of funnel and how can they drive more traffic, drive more of the right traffic or reduce your cost per click. And at the end of the day, you're really trying to improve your ROI throughout the entire funnel. And a lot of that comes in that, that customer journey on your website and that post-purchase experience. And what's been interesting for me to see with a lot of our ShipBob customers is the shift in how you view your logistics partner and how you can utilize it, how you can move it from being a cost center to a revenue driver. To really simplify what a funnel looks like and how you would calculate your revenue, which really, what does it cost to get a person on your website multiplied by the conversion rates for them to purchase multiplied by the average order value? And that's how you get your revenue. I know there are a lot of other factors like, well, what's my return rate? How do I get repeat purchases or subscription, et cetera? But let's just focus on those three drivers. ShipBob is not going to help you at the top. But what a lot of people are doing now is they're focusing on Facebook, Instagram, Google Shopping, SEO, influencers. And as companies like Shopify and ShipBob and others make it easier for these e-commerce brands to launch and succeed so quickly, that competition just continues to skyrocket. And that's been reflected and discussed a lot in the media lately, especially around Facebook and Instagram. I think they've gotten most of the criticism. Mm-hmm. Around the increasing cost per customer acquisition. Right. So how can you get back to either your past performance metrics or start doing better than the competition while also thinking long-term for your business as well? And so that's where I've been very excited to see us help these business owners. And so it's how can we help them on their conversion rates and how can we help them on their average order value? And with our two-day shipping guarantee program, which we have with Shopify and a lot of these Shopify Plus brands, we've seen brands, you know, get 20% plus reductions in cart abandonment rates, so therefore an increase in conversion rates, which really helps the ROI. And a lot of these brands have as well. And I was actually pretty surprised to see this, but it makes sense. Is they've seen oftentimes between 20%, and I was actually talking to a brand the other day, they saw like a 97% increase in average order value. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't necessarily expect doubling your AOV by offering, you know, the free 2-day shipping option, but it's what you're signaling there is you're giving the confidence to the buyer that they are going to get that Amazon level experience. And Amazon's written about this quite a bit where the Amazon Prime buyer, this isn't apples to apples, but the Amazon Prime member spends on average, I think it's like 1.5 or 150% more than the non-prime buyer on Amazon across the year. And again, naturally you would expect that because they're paying the service and they expect more from Amazon. But it just goes to show that when you can signal that better post-purchase experience and give them the confidence that they're going to get what they want when they want, we've seen a huge uptick there.
I'd add too, one thing I find with the fulfillment part of it, and I think, you know, you're talking about, you know, how do you improve the lifetime value because you feel that the, you know, the cost per acquisition is quite high, you know, it's definitely on Facebook and Instagram. That's, you know, that's noticed. I know that. I get the feedback a lot from my own merchants. One thing I found this kind of post-purchase that's really, really helping brands, and I'm going to have Shopify on and talk about this solution. There are a few others out there, but there's an app from Shopify called Arrive, and it's an iOS app that you download onto your phone. And essentially, I guess it connects to your email address, and it actually gives you real-time updates. And I had it working recently where I bought something from the US. I'm in Canada. And so I bought some pants and a couple shirts and stuff for the summer and decided to try this Arrive app. And I really enjoyed the user experience that went along with this app because I got proper push notifications, even though maybe there was updates in email letting me know that in fact your order is pushed forward and it's, you know, here's a tracking number, or in this case, there was a weather delay in Seattle and all those sort of things, and likely was in email, but it's nice through the Arrive app. I guess it's scanning your emails and it's identifying some things and that pushes it out. And so I just thought it was quite neat that you're able to follow along on a map with proper delivery updates. That's an interesting way of positioning a company instead of maybe it only going to email and you not getting it because you are excited. And I think that's one advantage I think ShipBob has with next day or 2 day kind of shipping option. So you're giving that trust to or the customer in the cart. So I can see why there's a lift in conversion rate and average order value because you have that trust in the cart of how quickly it's going to arrive. But you know the post purchase part of it, flowing to you, yes, it's there in 1 to 2 days. Also consider the tech stack of Arrive could be one solution, and there's others out there too that connect to Shopify and really offer a great customer experience as the product's being delivered to your home.
Yeah, I'm glad you called that out because, I mean, word of mouth is always the best channel. It's just the toughest to scale and often the toughest to measure. And so when you can add those, you know, kind of surprise and delight experiences to the customer, that's what's going to get them to, you know, share it online or talk to their friends about it. And so is Arrive a Shopify product or it's a third party product?
It's a Shopify product. So it's powered by Shopify. And Yeah, so it seems to be doing quite well and pretty exciting little app.
Nice. Well, yeah, I'll definitely need to dig into that because that we do push those constant updates both into the ShipBob dashboard, but that of course syncs to Shopify. And so those updates can come consistently, and then of course then get into the Arrive app. So that's very interesting.
I think they call, I'm looking at the site now, Arrive is a Shopify garage project. So it's a little bit of an outside kind of a deal that they're working on. And so I'm sure it's obviously outside of beta now, but yeah, it works well. I'm definitely a proponent of it. It's live on my site now or on my phone. And so anything I buy happens to be a Shopify powered store, then I'm going to get proper push notifications and the map and the whole deal. So, and it's free. So pretty cool. So let's talk about some things to consider, I think, when you're going to outsource logistics. Because a lot of people, maybe when you start out, you're kind of doing your own fulfillment. You're manufacturing yourself, importing yourself. You know, you start off in your garage. You may move to your own warehouse. But at some point, scale-wise, it's time to consider maybe, you know, the value of your time and money is to outsource this sort of thing. So let's talk about when you feel that people are ready. So like, when is outsourcing fulfillment? Like, when's a good time to start?
So it depends on the company, of course. But one of the many things I like working at ShipBob is and talking to our customers all the time. And other friends of mine in the e-commerce space is just these stories you hear of what people are doing from the fulfillment side. And I was actually out in San Francisco the other week, and a friend of mine was telling me how he kept getting invited to these quote unquote packing parties of his friends because his e-commerce store was blowing up. And all that was he was basically trying to use like pizza and beer to like incentivize his friends to come over on like a Saturday and pack boxes for him. And that happens all the time. Because you're often storing everything in your house or like, you know, your future child's bedroom or your garage or somewhere else like that. And it takes time. And then you do hit that success that you've been working so hard towards. And once you start getting up to like a certain trajectory, like how do you start fulfilling those orders? Or we actually see that a lot with Kickstarter and Indiegogo projects before they jump over to a platform like Shopify. And then also, I was actually visiting a, they're not a ShipBob customer right now, but I was actually visiting they're an eight-figure e-commerce company at their office, which was a warehouse. And it's this husband and wife duo, and they launched it out of a Starbucks like 5 years ago. And now, like I said, they're doing over $10 million a year. And their entire product and marketing and sales and development team was the husband and wife. Every single other person was packing boxes, printing labels, managing returns. And that was like, I think about 18 people. So like 90% of their staff was focused on the fulfillment side of the business. And so I remember when I saw that, I actually saw that before I joined ShipBob, and I was like, there is something massively off with this, where the only two people are focusing on, you know, driving the business forward versus like keeping the lights on.
Well, yeah, you look at like, you know, the space, the location for all the products. So there's a cost to that, the labor costs that go along with all that, having, you know, like, I don't know, 15 or so people pick, pack, and shipping versus what would it cost, you know, and I'm sure that these sorts of ROI numbers are available through ShipBob when you kind of engage with ShipBob, but just like, wow, you're spending this much amount of money for this, you know, sort of package deliveries and labor and whatnot. And then you can say, no, here's the ROI savings just flipping to us. So I think that's pretty cool.
Exactly. I mean, like you said, you free up resources, focus on product development, marketing, you know, the actual making money part of the business, the whole warehousing and leasing. Especially right now with the market going so well, I mean, these warehouses are easily commanding 3 to 5 year leases at a minimum at market rate or more. Plus even to qualify for certain warehousing and leasing spaces is just getting more difficult on who they'll even bring in, because everybody is looking for space. Of course, equipment, staff, workers' comp, liability insurance, all of that stuff, buying the boxes, packing supplies. And then, I mean, I think the biggest outside of all of that, which are very obvious, but it's, well, how do you utilize your 3PL partners' expertise and the volume that they're able to ship at, so therefore they're able to provide you much better rates, or things like the geographic footprint. Like I mentioned, you know, we have the fulfillment centers all over the U.S., and so that way you're able to take advantage of, you know, multiple locations. Or another interesting thing as well is that we look at too is we'll look at, so you'd import a month to 3 to 6 months of your Shopify order data. And we would work with you to identify where should you even split your inventory. And so there was a brand we worked with, they had like toddler and little kid toys, and they had this like little shark toy. And naturally that sold much better on the coasts. And so depending on also where your end consumer is purchasing should also determine how you split your SKUs.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, because you mentioned that, you know, you have multiple locations all around the U.S. and, you know, because then you're closest to the customer. But then you're right, maybe there's certain either seasonal items or very particular items that just sell better than others. And you being able to do the research of a Shopify brand's order data, then you can say, no, I think you need to put, you know, 50 here or 100 over there, or maybe you just need to have a couple selection SKUs at this location. But it's nice that ShipBob can analyze that data and then communicate with the brand about when it's time for fulfillment back to the appropriate warehouse. It's pretty cool. So I want to talk about, I guess, it's an interesting topic about this, about the whole Amazon. We talked about the top, but Amazon and Walmart, and you mentioned Nordstrom's and Jet.com. There's lots of marketplaces out there and large brands that are selling on there that are almost dictating the market to a certain degree, or as I think you mentioned, like this expectation shift, or maybe even a gap. And I think mostly pushed by Amazon. And so maybe let's dig into a little bit about the expectation shift that's happening, and then maybe the gap between what Amazon is doing, what other Shopify brands are doing. As you see it, you know, being ShipBob, you get to see what other brands are doing because you're fulfilling their orders. But let's talk first about what, like, what's Amazon doing today that you see that's kind of disruptive?
Yeah, I mean, I think in their earnings call yesterday, they said that they're now trying to push from 2 day to 1 day. And so it's like the second people think that they've caught up, Amazon is already close to the crossing the finish line on like what that next step function leap looks like. And so that's where, you know, really finding the right partners, again, similar to identifying Shopify as the platform that they'll utilize, or you know, different technology partners, but then on the fulfillment side as well. And so Amazon is, they are really driving the industry forward here and driving those expectations. And they, I think it's 80% of US households have a Prime account. And so when you think of what you're going to do there, you know, they're really setting that, drawing that line in the sand. And to stick with the Amazon Prime thing, what's interesting is, like, I know with Shopify, they have the Amazon Buy button that you can easily install in probably a click or two, which is huge. But where I see a lot of brands kind of miss the mark is they'll provide this great checkout experience, this one click experience. You can literally hit the website, find the product you're looking for, and check out in less than a minute, whether it be on mobile or desktop, which is great. But then it's this disjointed experience because you're not getting that Amazon level experience post purchase. And so again, you buy within a minute, but then it's 7 to 10 business days before you even get your product. And so it's really, how do you shore up the entire experience? And that's what people are going to talk about. That's what people are going to remember. Another interesting thing I read about Amazon the other day is they have fulfillment centers within 20 miles of 50% of the US population, which is insane. And so, you know, that's where they're able to take advantage of their footprint of being all over the US. And then I know with Walmart, and when there was the Jet.com acquisition, you know, Mark Lohr stated his number one focus out of the gates was providing that 2 day shipping experience and the 2 day free shipping experience, which of course worked so well for Amazon. And then with Target, they offer free shipping as well if you utilize their, I think it's their Target Red Card. It's something like that, which, you know, most brands do not have the ability to offer a credit card or credit card at the scale that Target can. So it actually like will make a business impact. And they utilize their stores as pseudo fulfillment centers as well. I want to say they have 1,800 stores across the U.S., and 90% of those are utilized as 3PLs. And so that's how they're also able to provide that, you know, very short shipping time frame for rather inexpensively.
It reminds me of a brand that I have access to, and they shared one opportunity that's worked out well for them in the membership field, because you mentioned that, you know, Amazon, there's, you know, I don't know, 80%. I'm not sure if that's the right number, but it's darn close to it, where people that are Prime members getting that 2 day shipping option through Amazon. I've also seen Shopify brands that have a membership service available with their store. Give an example in a shoe company, and what they're doing is they're offering, you pay $10 a month. It's non-expiring, and so there's no loss to the money. So it's actually building value in your account, and you can choose to use that money. And so people are obviously buying more regularly, but they don't have to. They can just, you know, every month put $10 into the pot, kind of as a recurring payment, as being a VIP member. But as a VIP member, with your $10 a month, you can choose to use it or not when you're ready. So it doesn't expire, so it's always there. It gives you 20% off anytime you want to shop. It gives you access to a lot of new product, like early releases, pre-releases, and special kind of invite only to new shoes and bags and different things they have. So it's really interesting. I've never seen it in any other brand do this sort of thing, where a non-expiring membership, whereas, you know, if you look at what Amazon Prime, as small as it is, that money is just kind of poof, gone. But it does give you access to free 2 day shipping. So you say, well, it kind of more than justifies it, but then that helps their average order value, and that keeps them to be able to communicate with you, and it keeps Amazon top of mind. So I can appreciate why they're doing it, but I also see creative Shopify brands considering a membership option, a non-expiring membership option of building some value, and then being able to communicate directly with these brand ambassadors, people that are investing money, and every 6 months they're making a purchase and they can apply, let's say in 6 months or $60 there, the shoes are $100, no problem. They've collected, you know, they have this money ready to go, apply it, and they have a small charge of $40 and they get to buy these pair of shoes. So have you seen that happening at all in your travels?
I haven't. I'd love to know the brand you're talking about there and then dive into the tech stack that they're utilizing. I know a lot of our larger sellers will focus as much as they can on the recurring aspect. And while I've run a handful of e-commerce businesses in the past, a lot of my experience is on the B2B side, which recurring revenue is at the cornerstone of everything we do. It's how can we get people in and keep them happy and keep them growing on what we provide. And of course, that provides value to them and to us. It also allows the recurring revenue also provides consistency in our business. And it allows us to forecast much better when with these e-commerce brands and a lot of the brands that I'll consult with or that I'll advise. Something I often focus on with them is how can we add this recurring business to what you're doing today, whether that be upsells or cross sells, so you can get that those purchases month over month. I know when I was running this company called Watchmaster in the past, we scaled very quickly. Like we cracked a million in monthly sales, I think in like the fourth or fifth month, and we cracked 3 million in like the eighth or ninth month, and we were doing really well. But it was the first of every single month. You know, our forecasted revenue for the month, if we did nothing, especially because our brand was so new, it essentially went to zero. And, you know, that definitely kept me up a lot at night because you're jumping on that treadmill again to how can you spike sales for the next month. And so it's just like really thinking through how can you drive those recurring sales at the top of the funnel, and then how can you fulfill that without really thinking about it on the back end. And so again, that's where a lot of our top merchants, such as Backblade and Piperwire, who are both Shopify Plus brands, they focus a lot on that recurring business so that it helps them, but it also provides a lot of the value to the customers as well, because they know that they don't want to go on their website every 30 days right. to order the same thing mm-hmm. or every 90 days. They just want that to hit.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Their mailbox. No, I totally agree. I think that lifetime value is definitely there. And it's easy to, it's better to forecast inventory, knowing what is queued up mm-hmm. for the following month. I have quite a few supplement and sports nutrition brands, and they love having customers on a auto recurring plan because they can do proper forecasting, knowing what's kind of in the bank at the beginning of the month. It'd be great if you could give me some advice, because I have a lot of, I guess, a diverse range of listeners of the show. There's people that are maybe early stage e-commerce entrepreneurs that are on Shopify, and I have some in the mid-market and certainly quite a few in the Shopify Plus range in the $3 to $5 to $50 million range. So let's talk about the early stage ones first. Can you kind of give any advice and things that you've seen? You've obviously been an entrepreneur yourself. You see entrepreneurs coming and using the Shipbop platform and service. Just was curious to see your feedback about what advice you would offer them today.
Yeah, so something I always talk to my colleagues about or my team members is how can you scale yourself? And you know, naturally, Shipbop fits in well there. Is if you're a solopreneur or a small team, or even that 20-person team I mentioned earlier, where 90% of their staff are focusing on fulfillment. How can you scale yourself? So provide world-class execution in certain elements of your business or certain elements of, you know, let's say marketing or sales, and hand that off to others so that you can keep focusing on what's going to drive the business forward. Or on like the marketing side, something I think of is, okay, let's say we're going to produce some content. How can I utilize that in many different formats? So if we do like a customer case study, how can I turn that to sales enablement as well? Can we turn this into a podcast or a webinar? Can I get this to rank for something? So from like an SEO point of view. And so, you know, how can you, to be really cliche, you know, kill multiple mm-hmm. birds with one stone? So oftentimes it's like, how can I scale myself? Especially, and then another item is, especially for those early stage people, but really for anybody, it's just do something versus, and especially do something over doing nothing. I see both, you know, both at the small business side, or, you know, very large businesses, is so much time will be spent on like dwelling on like, will this work? Will this not work? Is this a good idea? Let's, you know, death by PowerPoint, like just do something. And because like worst case is you learn something and you can apply that to the next endeavor. And I've just talked to so many people and they just keep dwelling on like, well, what if this doesn't work? What if I fail? Well, then you're guaranteed to fail because you did nothing and you just keep focusing on the negative.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of,
the
whole, I guess the slogan or the mantra about analysis paralysis, where people are looking at the data, especially if you're in analytics or, you know, Search Console, and trying to make some decisions of conversion and some kind of whatever the KPI is that you're tracking, and then just looking at all and actually not doing anything about it. And I think that's terrible. So, and that's, I keep pushing that on the show that, you know, yeah, you're right. Even if it's like one task every day, but work on something and execute on it. And that's what the show is all about, is that, you know, I typically like to talk about one particular solution, the problem it solves. So today is Ship Bob. If you want to scale yourself, then and focus on the high value tasks that really are helping drive the business, pick packing and shipping is likely not a high value task because the order is already done. The user's experience and just the unboxing, and there's so many things that the entrepreneur can do and the brand owner can do. The other thing I would talk about too is like pixel pushers. I find that quite a bit, you know, where they're always tweaking their website where it has absolutely no monetary value in moving things around, or just not quite happy with the aesthetics. Because I've seen some horrible looking websites that do $50 million a year. I can give you many examples of those.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, don't be caught up too much in that. If you have a nice premium theme with some nice product photography and follow along with best practice from a user experience or a customer experience perspective and a couple recommended apps, you're golden. And then from there, it's just, you have a great product. Is it being fulfilled quickly? Is there a post-purchase follow-up? These sort of things, reviews, social proof, all those sort of things all are kind of can go around full circle.
Exactly. And I mean, something I talk to, you know, my team and others about a lot as well is embrace the chaos or embrace the uncertainty, because you're not going to do everything perfect. And just like you said, the pixel pushers that want everything to be perfect and focus on like the mundane that won't drive the business forward, maybe because it's easy or because they want everything to be perfect, like what's going to move the business forward? And sometimes it makes us uncomfortable, which is not a bad thing, in that not everything is going to be set up perfectly. Like from your top of funnel execution to the customer experience, to the emails that they're getting, to the upsells that you're providing them, to, you know, that post-purchase experience, to the customization of the box and the tissue paper you want to put in there. Like not everything's going to be perfect tomorrow, but that's fine. So like what's going to keep the lights on or move the business forward best today? And then focusing on that. And then another thing too is like, And us as people in the tech space, it's always difficult for us not to chase the shiny penny, but is also focusing on those fundamentals. Like you mentioned, the social proof, or, you know, there's, you know, a handful of honestly like persuasion and psychology tactics that like fall in and hit everybody, whether you're a B2C or B2B marketer or what kind of business you're driving. And so it's like, it's focusing on those things versus, oh, Snapchat now has like this, new marketing functionality. Like I've got to go test that. No, if Facebook or certain influencers are driving the lion's share of your business, make sure that you're knocking that out of the park before you just go chase every single new like potential opportunity. And I'm not saying don't explore those, but make sure that, you know, your core business is running on.
Yeah. Shiny object syndrome. That's what I call it.
And the last thing to call it there too is, and this is actually been getting some, I'm glad to see it getting some good pub lately. And as lame as this sounds, I was tweeting about it yesterday, is really understanding the core fundamental financial aspects of your business. So like, what are your costs of goods sold? What does it cost for customer acquisition per channel or on a blended rate? What is your gross and contribution margins? Like, does every single package you sell, are you making money on that or are you losing money? And if you're making money, how much? And then is that so you can pay your employees, or is that more money you can pump into product development or top of funnel? But you just really need to understand, you know, your fundamental financial snapshots over time, and how is that growing over time, and then focusing on like how can you increase that average order value, or how can you increase that lifetime value.
So we also have a group of listeners today that I would more consider to be in the mid-market. So they have, you know, a small team, but they are eager to grow and scale. And so what do you feel that maybe the executive team or even the marketing team, what sort of things do you feel they should be working on?
Yeah, so it depends on, of course, again, what the business is doing today and what their catalog looks like. But I'd say that multi or omni-channel experience, and I know that gets talked about a lot today, but is how can you, what are the best opportunities to expand your business based off of the inputs and outputs that you're seeing from other channels today as well? And again, while I don't want to contradict what I was saying earlier around like don't chase the shiny penny, but you need to start looking at multiple channels and also multiple products as well. Because I know a lot of companies, and I'll start with multiple products and we'll jump back to multi-channel. A lot of companies and some that we deal with today is they'll be shipping, you know, 5, 10, you know, 50 different SKUs. But how are they going to start to expand their business into really owning like an entire marketplace? And so like take Bombora Socks, you know, they only ship socks today. But what does that future look like? Do they start getting into apparel in shirts and shorts? And how does that tie into the core brand of socks? And then to go back to multi-channel is, should you start looking into larger marketplaces like Walmart or certain channels like Pinterest as they continue to expand the advertising opportunities that they provide? Or are there niche marketplaces where you can still hold on to your brand and get those more affluent buyers and start promoting there? Or something that was very exciting that I saw you guys launch yesterday was your Shopify retail products and really providing that ease of online, offline experience. I was actually at this ShipStation event a couple weeks ago, and there was a Shopify Plus seller. I don't recall the brand's name, but they were using your POS software. And I know that it would have been very beneficial had they had your retail product, but even there, it was just cool to see the point of sale solution right there, syncing right into their store. And if they had the product at this little pop-up at the ShipStation event, then they could just purchase it right there, or they could purchase it online. Everything is synced right there, and then their fulfillment provider would send that directly to, right, you know, to their home.
So what about, I know we briefly touched on it, and it's super important to me about this whole post-purchase experience. Do you have any input on that?
Similar to the online, offline thing I mentioned is thinking through, so I'll touch on that and then get to the post-purchase experience, but how can you utilize your customer data today to also think through where should you open up shops? I was talking to a brand that we've worked with since their inception, and now they're doing eight figures as well. They actually have 7 different physical locations, and that was all driven by where are my buyers purchasing today. And so oftentimes, you know, your inclinations or hypotheses will prove true. We're like, oh, okay, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, but it's like, okay, what about when we would get into the Texas market? Is it Dallas or is it Austin? Or is it Houston? And just really utilizing a lot of that customer data to help prioritize where you should at least test maybe going offline, or finding people that you can partner with to go offline as well. Because what they did, what was interesting, is they would open up a shop, but then find a lot of brands that fit their ideal customer profile extremely well, and lease parts of that space for like pseudo pop-ups for them to also sell other products that complemented them really well. And of course, on the post-purchase experience, it's providing, of course, that Amazon level shipping and fulfillment, but also back to owning your own data and that customer unboxing experience. And if you're not doing that, I think you're really missing a huge opportunity. And that's a lot of where these customer expectations continue to shift. And also just thinking through how much money are you spending on Facebook and Instagram today? And then by utilizing the product or the unboxing experience almost like as a marketing play as well, is how can you get people to take photos or share this in a more organic and natural way as well.
So let's talk about the future for ShipBob. I always like to dig into this sort of thing, you know, I guess what you can release publicly. But in 2019, is there a roadmap of, you know, potential alignment with other partners or just kind of what you're considering for the rest of 2019 to help Shopify brands?
The handful of things that I'm most excited about, it's around, I'd say, the people we're bringing on board. It is the expansion of our fulfillment centers and then the product. And so, of course, for the people, I mean, you know how it is at Shopify. If you're not bringing in the right people, you can't move the business forward and therefore provide the best value to your end consumer. And so I know at ShipBob, we were fortunate to bring over a handful of people from Wayfair and Ulta Beauty to run the supply chain and fulfillment centers. And so that's really exciting. From the fulfillment centers, we just moved our Northeast location to a space that's about 4 to 5 times larger. And so I'm really excited about that. We'll have a new Southwest location coming in the end of Q2 as well. And then from the product standpoint, because that's one of the many ways where we differentiate, and especially as we continue to move forward, is the product. And so we have some inventory forecasting tools and some demand planning solutions that have already rolled out. We actually just rolled them out about 2 weeks ago, and those will soon be built into the core product. And then just things like, you know, when you join ShipBob, you know, we look at your order history, when I mentioned earlier, to help you best understand like how you should split the inventory and choose the locations. And so we continue to optimize that over time to keep getting smarter and smarter. And you don't need to follow how we say you should split your inventory to a T, but you know, we provide that for a reason, because you know, we ship, for Shopify alone, you know, millions of packages every quarter and every year. And so there's a lot of intelligence that comes from that data to help you.
That's awesome. I love the idea of inventory planning and the forecasting part, because there's nothing worse than running out of stock of a hot selling product and then knowing what warehouse it needs to go to, you know, because it could have a local word of mouth influencer that's really pushing the product. And then all of a sudden the sales go up in that particular market. Or you can see a trend of that going up in that particular market. So it's great that there's that kind of long-term forecasting and planning and stuff. We are nearing the end of the show for today. It's been like so eye-opening. I mean, I got 4 or 5 pages of notes that I've scrambled today, and life of learning, right? That's kind of my mantra for the show. And do you have any closing comments or any takeaways that you would like to leave with our listeners today?
First, just thanks a lot for having me on here. I really appreciate it and love what you're doing here. I've enjoyed quite a few of your podcasts, and you mentioned the Zayas one coming out soon. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely going to check that out. For any of the listeners, if you have any questions, you know, feel free to message me anytime at carmstrong@shipbob.com. I'm usually pretty good at getting back to people pretty quickly. But also in the show notes, I know Steve's going to provide some other information. We have a pretty cool ShipBob Shopify Plus booklet, which really highlights a lot of the benefits. But also, you know, we'd love to offer $100 in free shipping to all of the listeners here. Again, Steve will have that in the show notes, but ecommercefastlane.com/ShipBob. And, you know, for those of you really looking to stay ahead of the curve and provide that Amazon level experience, you know, we're here for you.
Thank you very much for that offer. So really, I guess my takeaway, I'm sure I'll do it post-production too, but it seems to me that it's time to move to ShipBob and have the technology and some locations with forecasting and some abilities to a third party when it's time to start scaling yourself and not doing a lot and wearing multiple hats, like the one story you told me about the husband and wife team. It's like that really resonates with me, because I can see that happening with many, many brands that are doing 2, 3, 4, 5 million, and they're literally doing a lot of it themselves. And I think that's one big takeaway I have today, is that look into what ShipBob is doing for many Shopify brands, both on Shopify Core or on Shopify Plus. People have vetted the 3PL market. There's a very tight connection. I have many merchants that are are using ShipBob. So there's a tight connection with Shopify, and they have the right tools in the process and an onboarding team that are really there. They're a partner with you. They're a trusted advisor in the logistics market. So it's exciting to have you on, learn what's been going on in the Amazon world and how brands can fight and just offer a great overall experience of fulfillment and post-purchase and lifetime value and like all the great things we talked about. I think it's really cool that we're able to learn a lot today. So thanks again, Casey.
Perfect. Steve, I really appreciate it. And you sell it probably better than I do. So I'm just gonna take these sound bites and then start utilizing that.
All right,
that
sounds good. All right, have yourself a great day.
Thank you.
This episode was brought to you by OmniSend, makers of sophisticated omnichannel marketing automation tools for sales-driven Shopify brands that have outgrown generic email marketing platforms. Engage your customers and boost your e-commerce sales with dynamic emails, text messages, web push notifications, Facebook Messenger, and retargeting ads on Facebook and Google, all from one platform. Try OmniSend for free for 14 days. Check them out, ecommercefastlane.com/OmniSend, and use the coupon code FASTLANE when you sign up. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of eCommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.